morning! This is Tony Witt from the Doctor Who Target Book Club podcast, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Scrolling for January 2nd, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflo.
Yeah, we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. We made it, Chip. We made it through 2017. It is now officially 2018. Happy New Year.
So if we write something out, we have to remember to put the 8 until the 7.
You didn't even say on a check because you don't write checks anymore.
I think I write one check a month.
Yeah, I don't write checks.
When someone asks for a check, it's really like, God bless.
It's awkward. I don't even know where the thing is. There's a book of coupons that say, it's like a note to my bank, please give this guy $20.
Well, it really has changed tremendously. The idea of being able to use your routing number and your account number and pay your bills online.
It's changed everything.
Oh, my goodness. I write so few checks. It's so old school to go with the checks.
All right. So did you make any New Year's resolutions?
I'm going to continue to try to lose weight, Steve.
Okay.
And maybe I'll grow some hair. You never know.
I'm not into New Year's resolutions. That's not a thing that I tend to do. So I always ask people whether or not they do.
All right. So last year, my goal was to find places to go and to be part, I guess, be more social on things. So I did a golf tournament this year as far as I volunteered for it. Mm-hmm. Just things out of my comfort zone. And just to find ways to being with people. This year, I'll have to continue to think about what I'm going to do that's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I've got some business goals that I'd like to do. I want to become better communicating with my clients. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, I'm just be the good person we all want to be.
Just be the best Chip you can be. That's 2018.
And everyone else can be the best Chip they can be, too.
There you go. There's your show title. Be the best Chip you can be.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. And, you know, here's the thing, Chip. Christmas is a time where I sit around the house and watch a lot of things on TV that I didn't get a chance to see during the course of the year.
Well, yeah, you're so busy during the semester with work and stuff like that. When you get that break to be able to sit down and watch
things. I ignore my family and watch TV.
That's right. And I end up watching a lot of college football.
Okay.
But we don't review college football
games.
That's
right.
So what we're going to do is ask you, what did you see, Steve, person who doesn't like college football?
Well, there was a lot of options. There's so many more options now than there ever were before. Mm-hmm. I sat down with a new documentary on Netflix. This is called The Toys That Made Us. It is a 8-part documentary, and Netflix has given us the first 4 episodes of this show before the new year, and they're going to give us the rest of them in 2018. This is a really interesting, good view on why we like to collect things.
So why do we like to collect things?
There's a sociologist here from the College of Lake County, which just happens to be a local college to us.
Ding, 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 ding.
Uh-huh. His name is John Tenuto, and he's a sociology professor. He explains that toys are the tangible symbol of our love for something that isn't real, that has no shape or form in reality, but because we love it so much, Star Wars, Chip, Star Wars, okay, because we love it so much, we need that physical way to hold it in our hands.
So you can watch this off Netflix. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the first 4 issues. You mentioned Star Wars.
Star Wars is the first episode.
Okay, so these are Star Wars toys.
All those Star Wars toys. All the stories of those Star Wars toys. That's a long story we've told before.
Sure. And Lucas basically got to keep those rights.
Uh-huh.
And there was a reason.
Uh-huh. George Toy Boy Lucas. Yes. Episode 1 is the Star Wars story that we've heard before. Episode 2 is all about Barbie and the invention of the Barbie doll.
I've got daughters.
Yeah?
I'm very familiar with Barbie.
Okay. And you know the story to an extent, right?
Yes.
You know that the inventor's daughter was named Barbara, so this toy was named after the daughter, mm-hmm. and it was quite an industry for a very long time.
In fact, I was reviewing the Barbies also with because I was very interested in Pleasant Roland and her beginning of American Girl dolls, mm-hmm. which actually she up in Wisconsin, not too far away from us. And the point is that Mattel eventually ended up buying American Girl. But they, because of the success of American Girl, they changed how they were marketing Barbie. And Barbie's goes through ebbs and flows too. Well, it's a very consistent toy for selling as much as it does. How they market it and who they're going for, these young girls, and how they're working with them, it changes over time. So anyway,
episode 3 is all about the He-Man toys.
He-Man,
that was a big marketing push.
And the Masters of the Universe.
They talk about that. They talk about how that was just off the top of somebody's head. They just wanted it to sound big, and all the creators went, "That's a stupid name."
Well, the beauty of, did you see the recent Geico ad?
Yes.
Which was very, very funny.
Absolutely. He-Man and Skeletor were an interesting pair to put together for things like that.
And, you know, probably one of the first afternoon cartoons. I mean, mm-hmm. we had Inspector Gadget, He-Man, G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were the...
Transformers were in there, too.
The afternoon cartoon serial.
Yeah, I fell for all of those. The fourth episode of this documentary is all about G.I. Joe. So
a real American hero.
A real American hero. Great story on that. Real quick, great story. That song came first. They had the G.I. Joe song before they invented the first 3¼-inch G.I. Joe figure.
Really? But wait, yeah. But G.I. Joe started way before that.
Right, with the 12-inch figures.
With they had real-life hair and beard.
And they're not dolls.
And they're not dolls. They're action
figures.
Those are
the guys that invented the term action figure. This is a great documentary.
He had a scar, Steve.
Yes. Yes, they go into that quite extensively in this documentary.
There's a scar. And they also made them in different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were black and white, and there were guys with blonde hair and red hair and all this other fun stuff.
Yes, this is a great documentary. I love my documentaries. This one in particular really gets to the heart of the matter and really is able to express itself with great editing. One of the best things about documentaries, we talk about documentaries quite a bit on the show. If a documentary has a narrative, has a beginning, a middle, and an end, a story, mm-hmm. that's a good documentary. These are really fun to watch. I really think that you should grab those.
And they have a kung fu grip.
With your kung fu grip. That's right.
You also, Christmas came, Steve, and there was a show that was on Christmas.
Yes. Christmas Day, we got to see the regeneration of the Doctor. Doctor Who, twice upon a time, happened on Christmas Day. And yes, I ignored my family and watched that extensively. This is the end of the Peter Capaldi Doctor, the 12th Doctor. He has now officially regenerated into the 13th Doctor. Her name is Jodie Whittaker, and we open arms welcome the new Doctor into the story, and we are ready for these new adventures.
Isn't that how it ends, Steve, where she opens her arms and she falls out of the TARDIS?
Is that spoilers? Yes, that's exactly how it ends. Because
just opens her arms and falls out of the TARDIS.
Here's the interesting fact. The BBC actually posted that regeneration scene on their Twitter account when it happened in England. So here in the United States, the show didn't air for another 6 hours because of time zones. But on Twitter, there was the regeneration scene.
Well, there you go. So now we have our new Doctor, and the new stories will arrive if we can figure out she can survive the fall.
I'm more concerned that Peter Capaldi comes to the conventions. I want to meet Peter Capaldi.
Well, Netflix has also been very good to you with a lot of the comedy series that they run.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of hour-long comedy specials on Netflix all through 2017, and I've seen quite a few of them. The one that I didn't get a chance to see until this week was the Judd Apatow The Return. Judd Apatow, you might know famously for making all sorts of great movies. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who made The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up, those raucous comedies.
Kelly Clarkson
was in that?
No, that's when he was ripping the hair off, when he became a manimal.
Very very silly comedies with lots of funny, silly things happening. Judd Apatow is the genius behind all those funny, silly things. He's not a great stand-up comedian, though. He hasn't done stand-up comedy for decades. He used to do it, and then he got into the writing side.
Sure.
And boy, is there a different skill set to writing versus actually performing.
So he needs a performer to do his comedy.
I really think that he is a great writer. I really admire him, but I did not like this special very much.
Well, Amazon's also been very good to you. And you got to see one of the films I've been looking forward to.
Yeah, 2017 was full of movies, and you might not have gotten to all of them. And there's a scale right now of movies. Am I going to see it on opening night? Am I going to see it eventually in a movie theater? Or am I going to wait to see it on
some streaming service?
And The Circle is one of those that I decided to wait for some streaming service, and that streaming service was Amazon Prime.
All right, so this was a movie that kind of a Steve Jobs type character. It was played by Tom Hanks. So that's the first thing you should
know. So there's your multi-million dollar movie right there. It has Tom Hanks in it.
Emma Watson is in this also. Uh-huh. Bing, 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 bing.
And Patton Oswalt.
Oh my goodness, you got three people that I would like to see. And a story that's got the paranoia of the internet.
The time. Security is important. Your privacy is being problematic.
So this has all been designed. This seems like it'd be great for a movie.
It really does. The pitch for this one sounds perfect, but boy, does it fall flat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The suspense of it, maybe it's because I know too much about how the internet really works, and maybe it's because I don't really care about privacy as much as the really paranoid people do. I found that the storyline here, the big reveal at the end, really fell flat.
Oh, I'm sorry. This looks like something I would want to see. You can watch it on Amazon Prime if you want to check it out.
Yep.
All right, so we got things opening up. Steve, give us the big stuff.
Tomorrow, the first Wednesday of January, we get a new episode of The X-Files. X-Files Season 11.
All right, so you just said X-Files. I'm going to fire up a cigarette real quick.
That's not what cigarettes... That's not what it sounds like.
I'm going to smoke a cigarette for us, Steve. So we got the smoking man.
Uh-huh.
And there's something out there, isn't there?
Mulder and Scully are still on the case. They are still investigating, and we're going to see what they can discover this time around.
Steve, do they ever discover anything?
Yeah. They have discovered quite a few things in the 11 seasons of The X-Files. A lot of those things are middle-aged people really like this show.
That's right. A lot of people enjoy the show. So this is going to be 5 episodes. They're going to be releasing every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. The next 5 Wednesdays, because January has 5 Wednesdays this year, and every one of them is full of The X-Files. I loved The X-Files in the 90s. I loved it.
Well, this seems like the perfect 5-hour or so,
yeah.
A story.
I hope so. We'll find out. Last season was a little bit disappointing. It really didn't hit the same nerve endings as the original, or at least my memory of the original from the 90s. Mm-hmm. But everything from the 90s is coming back, right?
All right, there's so many great films that were released during Christmas. We couldn't see them all, but this one looks like they gave us a teaser.
Yes, this one was released limitedly on Christmas Day so that it's ready for its Oscar. This is the Oscar-winning movie of 2017 in a lot of ways. It's called Molly's Game, based on a true story with a all-star cast. This one is about a lady who runs a really high-stakes poker tournament, and all of the suspense of what's going to happen to her life.
All right, so you can go to Vegas and you can play poker all you want to, but if you decide to do it in your home or set up games, it's usually illegal.
Right.
And so this is about a person doing that.
Uh-huh.
This is the pick of the week. This is, if you're going to go to a movie, this is the one you're going to want to see.
Yeah, just look at the trailer for this. The trailer is totally engaging. This is written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, along with Molly Bloom, who wrote the original book. This is her actual real story. Stars Jessica Chastain, Idris Elba, Kevin Costner, Michael Cera, Chris O'Dowd. I could go on and on and on. This
looks awesome.
All-star cast. I really think that this is going to be the movie that we should watch this week.
And the fun part about it is your wife won't complain when you go see it, yeah, because this looks really good.
I think this is one of those movies that I will enjoy and she will enjoy.
All right, so let's just say that she won't go to the movie with you to see this movie, but she wants to see it at some point in the future.
Uh-huh.
Is there a zombie movie we should go see?
Of course there's a zombie movie. Zombies are still big. This one's called Day of the Dead Bloodline. It is a follow-up to the George A. Romero classic from 1985.
Steve, I wonder what a zombie movie is about.
It's about zombies.
Okay, so this is a zombie movie.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah, this is pretty obvious what's going to happen in this movie, but it is a good zombie movie.
Will they survive, Steve?
Probably one of them will. If the pattern is to be understood, there's probably one survivor.
This is the conclusion. That is never a conclusion.
Just the one person who makes it to the next movie.
Are any other films coming out?
Yeah, there's The Strange Ones. This is a very independent film. This was purchased by DirecTV at South by Southwest last year. It's a dark and complex web of secrets. The kid and this stranger, and they're traveling across the country. The trailer is not very clear on what exactly is going to happen here, but it is definitely one of those psychological adventures.
This looks perfect for streaming at some point in the future.
Yes, which is why DirecTV agrees with you, Chip, and they paid a lot of money for that one. There's also a British secret agent movie, Stratton. This is from the books that are apparently a thing that people read.
Of course, Steve.
I've never heard of Stratton before, but maybe I'm not British enough.
Well, action adventure, James Bond-ish.
With Derek Jacobi.
There you go.
Derek Jacobi is in this B-level spy thriller. I'm like, wait a minute, isn't he one of the best Shakespearean actors on the planet? Yes, I'm adding a little bit of culture to this spy thriller.
So if you don't go see Molly's Game, you have some other choices.
There you go.
Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. And boy, there are so many great stories out there. There's so many lives being lived and so many authors that are willing to share what they've accomplished in life. We have with us today Juliette Miranda, who tackles the issues of life in the fast lane and where she's living now, the much slower Midwestern lane.
The Midwest can be fast.
No.
We're here in Chicago.
Chicago is okay, but it's not the fast lane like Los Angeles and New York is.
You're right.
It is a different speed.
We have lots of traffic here too.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I could tell you about traffic later. She's got her own podcast. It's called The Unwritable Rant. Every week she comes on and gives us a little view into her life. She has great conversations with newsmakers and icons, and lots of different people open up to Juliette Miranda. So we're hoping that we're going to get an inside view of who is Juliette Miranda. Good morning, Juliette.
Y'all, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. We're super excited to get to talk to you.
She used the word y'all, Steve.
She uses the word y'all all
the time. I did that just for you.
She loves the word y'all. You know, North Carolina.
The South, Steve, where the word the y'all comes out.
That's right. You don't use the word y'all. You feel that the word y'all is too Southern for you. You were putting on your Northern accent for this interview.
I do my best, Steve. I do my best.
Oh, come on. Give in to the dark side.
Yeah, put some South in your mouth.
Juliette is also the author of a memoir of rock and roll dreams and life in Los Angeles. That is called Morning Neurosis. This is your personal story of what was life like back in 2009 when you were living in LA, living the life.
Well, the book was published in 2009, but the actual story takes place much before that. I was a writer and a publicist in the music industry, so I write about my experiences working on the road with a lot of different hair bands and kind of my recovery period after that.
I would assume that would be an exhausting way to live for a while.
Oh, it is. It's a crazy life. It really is. I mean, Los Angeles is a very difficult town to live in and work in. And when you're a woman working in the music industry, it's definitely challenging.
And how does that compare to life here in Chicago? Because you're a Chicago-based podcast like we are. Chicago is a different kind of place than Los Angeles.
It absolutely is. I love Chicago. I really do. I think it's a beautiful city. I love living here with my guy. It's definitely a slower pace. And just for me personally, you know, I'm married now. The book takes place when I was single and, you know, going through a lot of crazy relationships with rock stars that I was dating. So life now is beautiful. It's a dream come true. Whereas before it was a little unfortunate.
Now, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that dating rock stars isn't a dream come true? Because that sounds like a lot of people's dreams.
And I understand that, and I had them. And ultimately, I did marry a musician, so I suppose it worked out okay for me in the end.
So what are you writing nowadays? Is there another memoir in you, a story of a young, plucky podcaster making her way in Chicago, throwing her hat in the air? You're going to make it after all, Juliet.
Only in Minneapolis can you do that, Steve.
I don't think any podcaster is quite plucky, but I do have two book projects in the works right now. One is another memoir. It's a collection of travel essays about my life with my guy, traveling and visiting, you know, different countries and different cities. And the other book is actually a work of fiction, and it's about New Orleans and the way three different people cross paths over 24 hours.
That's intriguing. I am ready to read that book. We do feature a book of the week on Too Much Scrolling. What are you reading? What's your genre that you like to read?
Well, my favorite author ever is Ernest Hemingway. However, right now I'm reading a book that's absolutely incredible. It's called I'm Dying Up Here, and it's about the comedy scene in Los Angeles in the 1970s. So, you know, it talks about David Letterman and Andy Kaufman and Robin Williams. It is a remarkable book, just so honest and descriptive. It's incredible.
Is that where you stick with your reading as well as your writing, is those memoirs, those amazing moments in time?
Oh, I love them. I love hearing a great story. That's why I'm a storyteller, is because, you know, having that connection, I think, really makes something come alive. But I'll read anything.
So now you're a podcaster, first and foremost. Why did you get into this crazy life of podcasting that we've decided to delve into?
Well, you know, the thing with being a writer and having books out there is that the way people consume stories is entirely different now than it used to be. So people really aren't reading the way that they did. You know, book sales are down. Publishers are really hesitant to release a lot of new books. So I've got all these stories and I wanted to find a new way to tell them. So podcasting just happened to work out really well. You know, you get to sit there and share stories and connect with people. It's ideal.
And in fact, I think you really hit something, that the way we were consuming writing is changing dramatically. I don't know if A War and Peace, for most of us, I guess we read a lot of Harry Potter, sold a bunch of stuff, but
right,
most of us are not going to read big, long pieces, and we want to consume them maybe a little bit different. I think Jeff Bezos talked a little bit about that with the Kindle. Having a podcast allows you to release chunks of material.
Which you could theoretically package together into a memoir later.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that I do think about quite a bit. And, you know, being a podcaster, you get to develop a new audience, and people that may never have heard these stories before are now, you know, in tune to them, which is awesome.
And they also can respond to you. That's the other beautiful thing.
Yes.
It's real easy to write an email or to text back or something like that. I really like this story.
Post a great rating on iTunes.
Oh, that
happens. There's a good idea. I like that one.
The Unwritable Rant. Look it up on iTunes and then look at Too Much Scrolling and give them a good rating too.
Lots of stars.
So what's the difference between writing down these stories and getting the chance to tell these stories? You could describe yourself as a storyteller, and you're really great at describing these situations. What's the difference between writing and speaking?
It's very subtle, actually, and it's a very tricky balance because when I'm telling my stories, I have to be very conversational about it. You know, you don't want somebody to feel as though you're lecturing them, and you don't want to come off sounding too formal. So the way that I write is very lyrical, and I use a lot of descriptive words, which helps me in my storytelling on the podcast because I take that essence and then just kind of simplify it a little bit. And then I ad lib and I go off script a little bit and just make it like it's two people sitting in a bar, you know, hanging out and telling stories.
Drinking rye.
Drinking whiskey, yeah.
That's awesome. What has been the most rewarding part of this weekly thing that you've been doing, this podcast?
Well, I have two answers for that. And I think for me, just professionally, the biggest challenge has been doing this every week. Coming up with 30 minutes of original content once a week is tremendously challenging. It's a lot of work, you know, coming up with original stories about stuff that happens to me or has happened to me. It's really made me a stronger writer. So I really, lately, you know, I've got 114 episodes out, and I was just thinking about the magnitude of that. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of storytelling. So I'm incredibly proud of the fact that I've gotten to this point.
Do you stick to a 30-minute episode? Or
I do,
are you
always.
Okay, so that is I always your do. Heart.
Yeah, because nobody wants to listen to somebody babbling about themselves for longer than that.
Agreed.
We have a soft ending, so we could be a 30-minute show, we could be a 40-minute show, but if we're starting to push up further than that, we feel like we're losing stuff.
Anything near an hour, I think, is way too much for podcasting. I've listened to some very long-form podcasts, and I've gotten lost or bored with them.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, and that's another part of this is that I've met so many great people doing this and getting to hear, you know, their podcasts and kind of picking up little tips and tricks from them and everything. It's incredible the way that we've got this great community.
And you've had some great guests on your show, too. You've talked to some really big names in all sorts of industries. Who was your favorite guest on the Unwritable Rant?
Oh, hands down, that would be Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
Nice.
Yeah, he's just, that man is so smart. And I'll tell you, I stressed over that interview. You know, I wanted to make sure that I was able to match his level of conversation. You know, you've got to be on the ball when you're talking to a guy like that. So, you know, I did a lot of research and he was just so much fun and just so smart and cool. An amazing guy.
Yeah, he is such a character. Just seeing him in all the different things that he does, from commercials on up, he is a character that I enjoy paying attention to. Who do you have coming up that we should tell our listeners about?
Well, unfortunately, I can't share any of that with y'all right now because
super secret.
We have a lot of people that we're connecting with and scheduling with, but we don't have anything booked. It's something that I don't do regularly. So I really, when I interview somebody on the show, it's always somebody that I am absolutely intrigued by and interested in. So we work really hard to make sure that it's a potent, really good conversation.
So listeners will just have to keep tuning in
every week to
your show, The Unwritable Rant. How can our listeners get more information about you and your show?
Well, here's the thing. If you want to get advance notice on special guests for The Unwritable Rant, or if you want to, you know, find out some of my favorite bourbon recommendations, head on over to my website. It's theunwritablerant.com and sign up for my newsletter.
Fantastic. I am absolutely a listener. I love listening to your stories. You bring to life all of these stories of things that I couldn't possibly do as a suburban dad. So I appreciate
Thank you.
I appreciate the window into your world.
Well, that ability to live multiple lives, that's what reading can do for you. And that's what listening to stories can do for you.
And what podcasting can do for you.
We can all learn.
Very much so, yeah. And it's great, you know, talking with you guys about it. I love it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Juliet. Juliet Miranda, The Unwritable Rant. Go to your iTunes. Go give her 5 stars. Go listen to her show. While you're there, give 5 stars to Too Much Scrolling. That's your homework.
Love it. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Scroll with it.
boy, Chip, I love taking your arm and twisting it behind your back as hard as I can. I'm going to do it again this year because it's time for your predictions of 2018, your favorite segment of Too Much Scrolling.
Excellent. I've got my fortune. I've got the crystal ball out here.
Yes.
I'm looking deeply into this crystal ball. And I'm going to see if I can figure out some stuff because it's kind of murky out there, Steve. There may be some truth that comes out.
It's only the truth is out there.
Exactly.
It's only January 2nd, so we've got a long path in front of us, and a lot of things are going to happen.
So, Steve, tell me what's going to happen in 2018.
All right, I'll go first. I think, and it almost pains me to say this, I think Solo, a Star Wars movie, is going to be bad. I think it's going to be panned by critics. I think it's going to have a Rotten Tomato score under 50%.
All right. I've just given Steve a Kleenex. The tears are pretty coming down.
The premise of a Han Solo movie sounds fantastic.
Steve, how did he get the Millennium Falcon?
And how where does Lando come into all this?
Exactly. How did he meet Chewie?
How does the story happen? It sounds like a story that writes itself, but I really have no faith in what's going to happen with this movie.
Well, we'll have to see. It comes out in May, right? May the 4th.
I have expectations, and they are very low, especially after Lord and Miller lost their jobs as director of this film.
And for those who don't know, those are the people who put together the Lego movie.
And I love the Lego movie.
Okay, so there it goes.
I love that movie so much, and I had such high expectations. But when they went away and they hired Obi Cunningham instead, I don't know.
Steve, his name is Ron Howard.
I guess.
He put together all of the Da Vinci Code.
And Willow.
There you go.
I have no expectations. I really think that is going to be a movie that we look back on it and go, wow, that's not good.
Give me the next prediction, Steve.
Well, it's your turn now.
Oh.
I did mine.
All right. So the University of Illinois has an IMBA program, and it's roughly about $23,000 a year.
Okay. So you have to tell us what IMBA is.
So MBA is a Master's of Business Administration. Mm-hmm. It is a master's degree.
Okay.
It's basically the training for a person to become a CEO.
Training.
Oh, yeah. Lots of training. The point of this is that I've been looking at MBA programs for many, many years, for more than 10 years. And many of them range anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000. And if you're working with a company, maybe they pay half, maybe they pay all of it. You never know. But if you're self-employed, there's no way to go get these things.
Right.
Well, University of Illinois, Champaign, Urbana, has shut down their MBA program downtown Chicago. So normally you'd be able to go get one. And they basically opened up this IMBA. So you can take part of your classes online, and then eventually you will go and work with the professors down in Champaign. The beauty of this is that it is so significantly less. You know, we're looking at 20% of what many other universities would charge, or less than that. I mean, wow. My point is that this is something that if you went and spent, you know, say $25,000 to get, mm-hmm. while that's certainly a lot of money, that is not $150,000. That's not $100,000.
That's a big disruption.
That's right. This is the type of thing that that we should see in a market, mm-hmm. where things come in and disrupt things. We get all the good stuff. You still have to get invited into this program. You can apply, and whether they accept you. You still have touches with professors, and the University of Illinois still has their name out there. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that this starts working its way to undergraduate degrees. There's no reason that a person should have to go and spend $100,000 to get an undergraduate degree. And so my hope is that we will start, this is the beginning of incredible disruption, and no one will have to graduate with $100,000 in debt to go get some schooling.
Because that's what the internet has done, has disrupted the entire process.
So this is good stuff.
Yeah, until it filters down to the high school and I don't have a job.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be totally the case, but this is the beginning part, and my hope is we'll find other schools that will follow suit.
All right. So I'm gonna go with my negative prediction, my big scary that I don't even want to talk about. But I think At the end of 2018, Donald Trump will no longer be the president of the United States. I don't know how this is going to happen.
Okay.
There's some options here.
Sure.
But I think that there's a precedent here for not having him around as the president.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're alone in that prediction. But we'll see what ends up happening.
That's why it's a predictions show. We don't know what's going to happen, but we have an idea that maybe there's some things in his closet that are going to come out, and maybe there's some choices that he makes that will make him not sit in that chair anymore.
We'll see.
We'll see. What else do you got? What's your other disruption?
All right. So we've got a number of conferences that are athletic conferences, and they are signing with ESPN and Fox and all these other companies out there to get their games on television, and they're not being paid very much. So examples of conferences not being paid a lot would be the Mountain West Conference. The one that we're in the Chicago area would be very familiar with, the Mid-American Conference, the MAC.
Okay, so these are colleges. You're talking about sports now.
I am talking about sports.
Okay.
Conference USA, and then we have the Sun Belt Conferences. So a conference like the Big Ten, they get over $50 million a year, each member. So if you're for their sports. So if you're to show the football games and basketball games and all those other
on television.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Okay. So we have precedent for this in the sense we have the Pac-12, which is basically took a lot of their Olympic sports like gymnastics, swimming, diving, stuff like that. They started throwing this on Twitter. And so these are not money-making sports, but they typically are the ones that, you know, we'll see in the Olympics. And this is where those athletes get trained. Many of them do. But for the conferences I was mentioning, the MAC and Mountain West and Sun Belt and Conference USA, they get paid less than $1 million, and they've got to split that with all their members. So if you've got 12 members in your conference, take your $1 million and divide it by 12, and each member gets a little bit of that. That certainly is a lot less than each individual member of, say, the Southeastern Conference or the Big Ten get. This is getting deep in the weeds, isn't it? My point being is that these schools from these conferences may choose to take their production in-house, sell their own ads, distributing them through the internet, through Twitter or Facebook or wherever they want to put them, and have more control over their schedule. Because they don't get paid a lot, many of them are playing on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, where everybody else is playing on Saturday. If you're in the Mountain West Conference, your game time may start at 8 or 9 o'clock at night for a football game, where you're like, wait a minute, why can't we play at noon?
Right.
Well, and so what they're going to do is they're going to learn to, I'm sorry, they're going to choose to take their schedules back in hand and sell their own advertisements and then just post them on Twitter or wherever they're going to do it.
So another internet disruption.
And if ESPN or CBS or somebody is interested in their game, they'll just resell it back to the service to distribute it. But the idea is to take their own scheduling back.
All right, so what's your metric going to be for this? How many teams are going to do this to make you
It only take correct? One conference.
One conference.
It's not going to be a team. It's going to be a conference.
One conference. Got it.
So we'll see if one of those, and I would say the Sun Belt, Conference USA, Mountain West, or MAC chooses to take their scheduling and throw it on the internet.
All right. I'm writing it down.
All right.
I think that at holiday time 2018, I am going to see a Microsoft HoloLens available at a retail price under $1,000. I really thought it was going to happen this holiday season. It did not happen. Those are still $3,000 right now. They're still not ready for retail, but I think the HoloLens is the future of computing.
Well, still $1,000 is a lot of money.
It's
out of reach for many Americans.
I agree.
And while that certainly is magic, because eventually they'll become less than $100.
Right.
But Microsoft is a big player in this, and they want to get this stuff out. So that's very interesting, because we thought it would come out this year.
Yeah, augmented reality.
I'm sorry, 2017.
Yeah, augmented reality, I really think, is the future of how we are going to use the internet, how we're going to see information, putting it in front of us instead of a silly phone screen that we have to look at. We had some very interesting augmented reality breakthroughs on the phones this year.
Sure.
But when we get it in front of our eyeballs, when we have glasses, I think that's going to change everything for our use of this information. What else you got?
The sports? Chicago Bulls, Steve.
More sports. Okay.
Yes. I think they're going to have the number one NBA pick. The lottery pick.
Congratulations, Chicago Bulls. You have the number one draft pick.
I didn't say they're going to have the worst record.
Okay.
I just think that somehow the ball is going to come up and it's going to be the Chicago Bulls.
Because there's this lottery system for the NBA, right?
There is. And if you're the worst team, you get more balls into the lottery.
More balls.
There you go. And then
bigger ones.
Well, exactly. Anyway, I think that the Bulls will end up getting the number one draft pick.
Okay.
Because they're going to be an awful team. Yeah. And somebody's going to have to make that pick. And that'll be the Bulls.
Okay. Good luck, Chicago Bulls. Do you have one last one? I'm all out.
You're all out. I'm going to say Uber may not exist.
Wow.
By the end of the year.
They've been having some problems, that's for sure.
Well, they've had a number of scandals.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a number of board issues going on and things of that nature. And it's just ripe for picking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether somebody like Amazon comes in and buys them or somebody else, they basically would be coming in, buying the name, and then buying the service. So we're getting stuff like Lyft is getting a push for that. Uber has become the Kleenex of how
everybody refers to ride sharing as Uber. Yeah,
that's right. It could be a taxi service that buys Uber. You never know.
That's right.
But the point is that the software is there. Mm-hmm. The research is there, and it just could be picked apart, and it may not exist at the end of this year.
But rideshare probably still will. It's just
absolutely
just rideshare. That company Uber, you think, is got its own problems that need to be resolved in 2018.
Sure, they'll have a company come in and straighten it out.
Well, SoftBank came in and got that 18% share last week, so we'll see how that works out.
Sure. Well,
maybe that'll straighten it out.
Well, it could be somebody like GM coming in and purchasing it. Yeah. You never know. Or the university, Carnegie Mellon. Who they basically took their entire robotics division,
right?
Could come in and say, okay, now it's going to be under our company.
Nice.
I mean, under a university.
Or another company. They could form another company. Very interesting. Interesting stuff. Who knows what's going to happen? Nobody. Nobody knows what's going to happen. But those are our predictions for 2018. We'll look back next year and find out how totally wrong we were.
Oh, I'm sure I'll be wrong.
We're always wrong. Don't listen to us. We're always wrong. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week at least. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
Absolutely. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and every day of the week. And go to our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Essenflow.
We'll see you in the future.